Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Gies, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Greetings and happy Wednesday, everybody. It is another episode here of the Voice of Indie podcast. This is episode number 176, and I am your host, Beam Weeks. And with me is Mr. Stephen Gies. How are you doing tonight, Stephen?
Oh, I'm doing great. We actually got below freezing last night for about four minutes, so it's been crazy down here in Alabama. We don't know how to act. Next thing will happen is it'll snow, and they'll have to shut down the state. But I want to give a quick shout out to our author, Robert G. Willis Groff. He had a major medical procedure today, came through it with flying colors, and is doing very well. So good for you, Robert, and we look forward to hearing you call into the podcast again sometime in the future.
Well, he'll be on next week, so we got that.
Well, there you go. So he needs to do some quick recovery.
Yeah, get that neck in shape, buddy. Yeah, and over on Twitter, we've got Verwayne Greenhoe is dipping in. He's had some medical issues, so he may not be here for the whole night, but we're glad to have you on board for what time you are here, Verwayne. But maybe you do need to listen to your wife and rest and recover.
All right, so we've got a book that we just put up this week, and it's by Gwen M. Plano, The Soul Whisperer's Decision. It's kind of a supernatural thriller with a lot of heart in it, and this is the second book in the past few months we've published by Gwen. This one is out there for sale now, but the actual release date will be January 15th. So get out there and place your orders, but you'll get the book delivered to you mid-January. We staggered that a little bit because we just put out another book by Gwen last month, so I'll put a little bit of space between them, but you can go ahead and get it ordered now. That's The Soul Whisperer's Decision by Gwen M. Plano, and all editions are available on places like Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
And speaking of that other book by Gwen M. Plano is The Gift, Harbor Point Series, book number 2 out of the 8 book series by the ladies of Story Empire. So get over there and grab that one. That one's available now. That's a Kindle-only book, so it'll be a little cheaper. So if you got a Kindle, go load it up.
Now, another book that we've just published in the past few weeks, which is available in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats, by Judy White Arts. It's The Essence of Spiritual Awakening, Enlightenment, Inspiration, and Insights that Illuminate the Path to Divinely Guided Wisdom. That's by Judy White Arts, and that just went for sale in the past few weeks, so get out there and order your copy now.
All right, Celebrate 98, The Untold Stories Behind the Tennessee Football Vols 1998 National Championship. That is out now. That is by Dave Hooker from Off the Hook Sports. So if you're a college football fan, and maybe you're even a Tennessee Vols fan, this is a book you want to get for the Vols fan in your life. Christmas coming up, this book is a nod to the celebration of that championship from 25 years ago. So go ahead and grab yourself a copy and get a couple copies. Wrap them up, put them under the trees. If you want to be part of tonight's show, you want to call in with a question or a comment, we've got a couple of ways you can do that. And here's how both of those ways are.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest. Or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
Hey, now we've been publishing maniacs around here, especially right before Christmas. Another book we've put up in the last couple of weeks. This one's by Ronan Duvall, R-O-N-E-N-I-N. D-U-V-A-L, Rona Duvall. It's called Village Boss. It's an international crime thriller full of suspense and tension and all kinds of cool stuff that you thriller lovers would definitely enjoy. So that's Village Boss by Rona Duvall. Out there now in all the editions.
I've read it. It's a good one. And then we also have David Carroll's I Won't Be Your Scapegoat. David Carroll's Homemade Social Media Blunders. This is a funny book. You've heard us talk about this if you listen to the show with any regularity. We talk about it often. It's a hilarious look at some of the misspellings or the wrong use of words or just signs that failed. You find them on social media or even in the parking lot of your favorite restaurant. There's that sign out front and somebody messed it up. David Carroll's got pictures of it in there. He's got examples of it, and he's got his own little snarky retorts to some of those. So grab a copy of that. I guarantee you're going to laugh. Stephen and I laughed just going through it while we were in the publishing process. We were had a million laughs over that one.
Yep, my belly shook like a bowl of jelly. So we've got another book that we just put out a couple weeks ago. This is The Chair 4, 7, 8, and 9. By Robert McKenzie. That's the fourth in his Chair series. We started working on book five today, so we got the last book in the series should be coming out sometime next year. In the meantime, The Chair 4 is out there right now. It's got a golden cover with blue lettering on it this time in order to match his UCLA colors because he played football for UCLA. That's The Chair 4 by Robert McKenzie, and it's out there now. Get your copy.
Now, I heard The Chair 5, we're going to find out who shot J.R. Is that right?
I already know, so not going to give it away.
All right. We've got a lot of writers in our audience. This is a podcast that's primarily has authors on here, so we got a lot of writers in the audience. There's a great writer's resource called storyempire.com. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, there's a new blog piece on there, and it covers a whole gambit of all things writing. So get over to storyempire.com. You can subscribe to it over there. You can read going back years. I think it's like 6 years worth of articles of basically just writing advice. And so get over there, storyempire.com. There's going to be some big changes coming January 1st, so keep your eyes and ears open.
Yeah, definitely. Now, we've got some books that we're going to be publishing in the next few days. We're looking to have up by this weekend the new Robert G. Willis Croft science fiction, the third Orc Chronicle in his Orc Chronicle series. This one's called Ran, A Hidden Civilization, and this features a race of Arkans who look like giant lizards. So, I mean, if you're looking for a good lizard story, Ran, A Hidden Civilization by Robert G. Willis Croft should be up by next week's show, probably a few days sooner.
All right. Who doesn't like a good lizard story? All right. Coming soon, Edge of Smoke, the sequel to The Calling Dream by tonight's guest, Carlisle Toms. So that's coming soon. Keep your eyes and ears open. We've got a newsletter, which we'll remind you about here shortly. All things Fresh Ink Group are in that newsletter, so you're going to want to subscribe to it.
All right. Another one coming soon we're looking to have up within the next few days, certainly within a week by next week's show, American Darkness by Stephen Skibicki. What's this one about, Beam?
That is some really cool, dark, haunting poetry and short stories by a talented writer. And we're going to get him on this show here coming in the new year to come and talk about this book. But if you're into poetry and dark poetry especially, this is your book, I promise you. All right. Speaking about that newsletter that I just mentioned, here's how you can subscribe to it if you're not already subscribed.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter, new releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What? All right, coming soon. Cheryl Carpinello's Young Knights audiobook. This is, I just had the a little bit of a meeting with the voiceover author, and he's got all of the lines that he needs to reread. But, you know, it's the holiday season, and he's actually traveling for the holidays. So when he's back, that book should be coming out real soon once he gets home. So keep your eyes and ears open for the Young Knights audiobook by Cheryl Carpinello.
Yeah, that's produced by Fresh Ink Group, so it's not just a well-narrated audiobook by a famous movie actor. It's got sound effects, it's got music, it's got scratch and sniff, you name it. It's a very cool audiobook targeted primarily at... Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Finish what you're going to say.
Targeted primarily at young teenage boys, like middle school age boys, in order to try to get them interested in reading Arthurian legend type stories. So
yeah,
go Cheryl Carpinello.
Yeah, and there's even a part where when you're sitting in your seat, it'll vibrate and feel like you're actually flying.
Oh, the earthquake scene. Yeah, I remember that. All right, so let's take a quick look at the top 25 print bestsellers published by Fresh Ink Group in the past week or so. And remember, these are print. These are not the ebook numbers. In print, number 25, Larry Landgraf's chapter book, illustrated chapter book for young people called The Adventures of Ollie Orangutan. An orangutan is captured and is being shipped to America, and he escapes and goes on some adventures. That's a cool book. Above that, Operation Icebreaker, A Mac McDowell Mission. That's one of the four Mac McDowell Mission books by Robert G. Willis Croft's Cold War Submarine Thrillers. A lot of fun. Mac McDowell's a cool character. You're going to want to check that series out. We've already talked about The Chair by Robert McKenzie. Volume 3, called 7, 8, and 9, is next up on our list. It's a paperback edition. Is one of our top 25 bestsellers. Above that, David Carroll, NBC newscaster out of Chattanooga, his book Volunteer Bama Dog, which is taking a look at the life and the culture of people in the South here, and particularly that area among the three states of Tennessee, Georgia, and Alabama. And he has all kinds of fun stuff in there, including a little bit of making fun of the way people talk with their Southernisms. That's Volunteer Bama Dog by David Carroll. Again, Robert McKenzie, The Chair, Volume 1, paperback edition. This one's called Lightning, Thunder, and Glory. And above that, The Chair, Volume 2, Faith, Hope, and Love. So that's our first three books in Robert's The Chair series have already made our top 25. Above that, How to Teach Driving, Behind the Wheel, Lesson by Lesson, and it's the Instructor's Edition by Kenneth Lindquist. Hardcover is next up on our list, and there's, of course, softcover and ebook editions of that, but there's also a parent's edition. So there's two different versions of the book, one for instructors who want to get certified to teach, and then parents who just want to make sure their young people are good, safe drivers. Above that, Dr. Najma Thomas, As We Remember, A History of the Women's Relief Corps in Beaufort, South Carolina. What do you think of that book, Beam?
That's an excellent book. It highlights a lot of historical events, and it's loaded with pictures, so that's always cool.
Yeah, great pictures. Okay, above that, Gwen M. Plano's new release, the one that's in pre-sale right now, is already in our top 15 best print bestsellers, The Soul Whisperer's Decision by Gwen M. Plano, supernatural thriller. A woman has to make a very difficult choice between her children or her husband after a tragic accident. Above that, another Mac McDowell mission. This is the first of the four. Operation Ivy Bells, A Mac McDowell Mission by Robert G. Willis Croft. Again, Cold War submarine thrillers. Above that, we've mentioned Ronan Duvall's Village Boss, the international crime thriller. First novel by Ronan Duvall. We're proud to have him. We're looking forward to some more from him. And then above that, David Carroll's I Won't Be Your Scapegoat. David Carroll's homemade social media blunders. That's the hardcover edition. Now, we've already covered The Chair 1, 2, and 3. Here's the new one, The Chair Volume 4, Punt, Pass, and Kick, paperback edition by Robert McKenzie. Now, that's getting us up into the upper echelon of print sales here. Another David Carroll, NBC newscaster. Hello, Chattanooga, famous people who have visited the Tennessee Valley. You've gotten lost in that one a few times, haven't you, Beam?
Oh, definitely. That's just another historical look at vaudeville and concerts and all kinds of entertainment history going through Chattanooga and through the Tennessee Valley. It's a fascinating read, really.
Yeah, it's a big, thick book, too. It's a real collector's
pictures edition,
and people are loving that. Okay, as college football season in the States winds down, we're still celebrating Celebrate 98, the untold stories behind the Tennessee Football Vols 1998 National Championships, 25th anniversary of Tennessee's team winning the national championship. And Dave Hooker of Off the Hook Sports has documented it. He's got the pictures, he's got the stories, the interviews, the follow-ups. He's got it all in Celebrate 98. Now about that, the essence of spiritual awakening, enlightenment, inspiration, and insights that illuminate the path to divinely guided wisdom by Judy White Arts, and it's the paperback edition that has made our top 10 bestsellers in print. Above that, Dr. Helen Burrell's American Agony, The Opioid War Against Patients in Pain. And then above that, the same book twice in a row, hardcover followed by paperback, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip. Who's that by, Beam?
That's by, I'm drawing a blank.
Mark Herndon.
Mark Herndon. He played drums for the country music supergroup Alabama. I'm like studying some stuff here that's coming up later, and it just threw me for a loss. My old age, man. Seriously, my old age. I was grasping for a name earlier today and couldn't think of it and had to ask my mom, well, what's that person's name?
Yeah,
but,
what's my
yeah,
name?
It's an excellent book. It's a memoir. Mark gives you the ins and outs of what goes on behind the scenes, and starting from scratch with Alabama when they were just still playing the bars, all the way to their induction into the Country Music Hall of Fame, and the falling out that he had and with some of those guys. But like the title says, he takes the high road and doesn't dish dirt. He's thankful for the opportunity that being in that band gave him.
Yeah. All right. That brings us, that's slots number 6 and 7. So that brings us to our top 5. In the number 5 slot, paperback edition, retired U.S. Navy Lieutenant Commander Jerry Pate brings us Submariner, 30 years of hijinks and keeping the fleet afloat. That's a 60-chapter memoir about all kinds of adventures, life above and below the seas. And Jerry tells it unabashedly. And it's a lot of fun. Number 4, back to Robert McKenzie, The Chair, Volume 4, the new book in his Chair series, and it's the hardcover edition. So any of you who think that novels don't sell in hardcover, that book is well over 400 pages, so it's not an inexpensive book. But the hardcover edition is at our number 4 slot on print bestsellers from Fresh Ink Group. That brings us to our top 3, our gold, silver, and bronze. Number 3 slot, the hardcover edition of The Essence of Spiritual Awakening, Enlightenment, Inspiration, and Insights that Illuminate the Path to Divinely Guided Wisdom by Judy White Arts. Hardcover edition. That's a very nice book. Beautifully illustrated. Top 2, in the number 2 slot, the hardcover collector's edition of Dave Hooker's Celebrate 98, The Untold Stories Behind the Tennessee Football Vols 1998 National Championships. All right. What's number 1? Paperback, I Won't Be Your Scapegoat, David Carroll's homemade social media blunders. As he's the Chattanooga area NBC newscaster, and he's put out a book that's just a whole lot of fun. As Beam said, it makes us laugh and even makes my belly shake like a bowl full of jelly. So, I Won't Be Your Scapegoat, David Carroll's homemade social media blunders is in our number 1 slot. Congratulations to everybody for selling some books here in this pre-Christmas selling season.
I figured it would have made your belly shake like a bowl full of homemade social blunders.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. If you missed an episode or you've got a favorite episode you want to come back and listen to again, we've got an archive, and we've got these episodes strung out all over the place. And here is where you can find quite easily your favorite episodes.
Find your favorite show in the Voice of Indy archive on YouTube at Fresh Ink Group, StephenGees.com, BeamWeeks.com, FreshInkGroup.com, and on Spotify. And now, you can listen on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn. Just search the Voice of Indy, all one word.
Our mistakes do not define us. All of our experiences and challenges, especially the most painful, serve a greater purpose. A lifelong journey of profound experiences and personal sacrifices led Judy White Arts to discover her destiny and connect with her true, authentic self. Judy shares her story and divine pearls of wisdom in this memoir that is equal parts inspiration, insight, and self-help. The essence of spiritual awakening, enlightenment, inspiration, and insights that illuminate the path to divinely guided wisdom is beautifully illustrated with full-color photos and a journal in the back for recording your personal thoughts. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, Judy's book is available in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. Discover your true authentic self through the essence of spiritual awakening as you journey toward your path to self-enlightenment.
All right, so how about we get to tonight's guest? Carlisle Toms is a writer who grew up in rural Arkansas, or rural Ozarks poverty. My grandparents grew up in rural Arkansas, Ozarks poverty. He completed his master's degree in 1981. He has written for different regional magazines and newspapers over the years and has often been selected to speak at both professional and non-professional events, as well as radio talk shows. However, he had never published fiction until completing his first novel in 2014. His general method for fiction has been to define a character and allow that character to tell his or her own story from the first-person perspective as though the character is writing an autobiography. Through his characters, he explores the psychology of the human condition as well as the various elements and entanglements of personalities. His novels incorporate the social and historical influences surrounding the lifetimes of his characters and are stories of overcoming social, emotional, and spiritual challenges. Welcome back to the show, Carlisle Tom.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, Carlisle, we've had you on before. We've talked a little bit about your background, but we know you came out of the rural Ozarks. That was Arkansas where you grew up, right?
Yes.
Okay, and you're not in Arkansas anymore, right? Where have you gone?
No, I'm in Texas now.
Everybody's in Texas now.
Yeah, there's a couple of other authors in Texas that we've heard about, too.
Yeah.
So where are you in Texas, and what brought you there?
Corpus
I know, a car.
And yeah, a car. Now, what brought me here is that I went from Arkansas to Nashville and then back to southern Missouri, and the winters just got to be too cold. And then I came down here for the first freeze in like 25 years, or maybe it was more than that.
Brought it with you.
Yeah. So came down here to get warm, and then the cold followed me.
And sometime along the way, you got married too, right?
Yeah, I got. We got married in at Bethesda Fountain in Central Park, New York, a couple of years ago. Been together several years. So, yeah.
Well, that sounds great fun.
Now, having grown up in rural Ozarks poverty, your childhood, were you into reading and writing? Is this what got you into being a writer, or did that come later?
Yeah, I started writing when I was really young. And, you know, maybe part of that was being inspired by the fact that my father had a book, and that's a long story. My dad was captured in Guam a few days before Pearl Harbor, or a few days after Pearl Harbor, rather, and then spent the duration of World War II in Japanese POW camps. My sister has recently republished his book. It's called Laughter in Hell. And the author is Stephen Merrick. But it's about my dad and a friend of his and their experiences as POWs in Japan. And that book was something that I had, and it inspired me to write, I think.
Have you thought about writing any more about that? You know, any of the family history or, you know, what you learned from him?
Yeah. Actually, I had a book, a poetry book that I published called The Gulls Are Always Laughing. And I did that after moving to Texas. And it was a really, really difficult move. And I consoled myself after moving into a rat-infested apartment with mold and broken windows. And, you know, it was just really, really tough. I rented the apartment sight unseen and was lied to. And so I got down here, and the first 6 months were really, really rough. And I consoled myself by walking along the beach, and it just occurred to me that the gulls, they sound like they're laughing. It's like they laugh no matter what. And so I took that as a spiritual lesson to learn to laugh it off and keep going, and got through it. And so what I've done is I've gone back with that poetry book, and I am writing basically my life story, my experience with my dad, and all of that in that book, and that's currently in progress right now.
Oh, cool. Now, as we mentioned in your, as I mentioned in your bio, you got your master's degree in 1981. So where all did you go to school, and do you have any future plans for other degrees possibly?
Oh, hell no. I am retired. I'm 68 years old. I'm retired from my day job. I just want to write for the rest of my life. And, you know, unless it's, I might take a course here and there. I'd like to take some courses in screenwriting. And, you know, I would definitely maybe consider a course, but no more degrees. I'm not going to put myself through that again. But, yeah, I had a degree from Lyon College in Arkansas and a master's degree from UALR.
Wow. Have you looked into those courses? Have you gotten serious about that yet?
Not yet. Actually, I've spent a great deal of energy and effort just working on the writing, the novels, and getting the next one out. And so I have a couple of more in the works, and I'll be working on that. But yeah, I find that keeping up with social media and keeping up with my writing and fitting all of that into the day, it requires quite a bit. I really, the first novel in 2014, I had written over several years, just kind of coming home after work and on the weekends, and did that in addition to more than a 40-hour week job. Then would write sort of in my spare time, and I was happy to retire so I could just focus on just my writing. That's what I want to do. That's my retirement career.
Well, it's definitely a fine ambition. All right, people, we're talking to Carlisle Toms, author of several books now, including his second novel coming out from Fresh Ink Group here in the next week or so. Call in, ask a question, make a comment, 516-453-9902, and we'll be back after this.
Dexter Jones is a military veteran suffering from PTSD. He has flashbacks he can't quite explain. There are gaps in his memory. Is it the result of his head trauma, or is it the CIA running a program on him? Now a hired gun tasked to eliminate drug traffickers, Dex finds himself in Colombia wearing military fatigues and fully armed, but answering by name he's never heard. He sets off for an intercontinental mission to uncover the truth, even as assassinations and betrayal at the highest levels of government threaten to destabilize the world. Maybe it's not who Dex is so much as who he might still become. Now in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats, Village Boss by Ronan Duvall is proudly published by Fresh Ink.
All right, grab a copy today. That's a really good book, too. Carlisle, you mentioned you're retired. Retired from what? What did you do for your day job?
I had a 42-year-plus career in clinical social work.
Oh, what kind of clients?
Addiction, mental health, primarily working with people with trauma history, PTSD, and those things are reflected in my writing. My writing is purely fiction, but I have a great deal of awareness of trauma, understanding trauma, and coming to find peace, which is, you know, that's what the current book, Edge of Smoke, is about. It's about dealing with all the crap that human beings can deal with and finding a way to overcome it.
Wow. So how do you spend your time when you're not writing? What other kinds of hobbies, interests do you have? What do you find to do down there in Texas other than wandering on the beach and looking at the bluebells in the springtime?
Rope steers.
I have a wonderful deck on the back of my house, and in the spring and sun, and of course I can sit out there in December too. I can sit out there in shorts and a t-shirt in December. but the wonderful thing is over the spring, and I still have flowers blooming out there, by the way. Over the summer, I can sit out there in the evenings and just watch the hummingbirds and listen to the wind chimes. And I spend probably an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours a day just trying to be mindful and thankful.
It's always a good thing.
Well, yeah, that sounds like it's actually a part of your process. Over on Twitter, we have a question from Dr. Helen Burrell about that. She says, Mr. Toms, how do your characters in your novels who speak for themselves come to you?
Well, they just do. Stephanie, who is the protagonist of Edge of Smoke, came to me actually when I was making Christmas candy in 2013 or 14 and just started talking to me. I'm standing there and I'm dipping candy, and all of a sudden the first line of the book came into my head. You know, the first line of the book is, my mother was a whore. And then she just continued talking to me, and that's what they do. The characters just seem to show up.
Wow. Of course, I don't think I've had any characters tell me somebody was a whore.
Well, because your mother probably wasn't a whore. But Stephanie's mother was, she was a drug addict. She was a heroin addict and a drug whore. And Stephanie grew up in the slums of Pruitt-Igoe in St. Louis during the 1960s.
Wow. So the cover for Edge of Smoke is still being painted digitally right now, but we put a mock-up in the newsletter today. Is that Stephanie's mother that's in the picture there?
Stephanie's mother, yeah, standing behind her smoking, you know, and the title of the book came from Stephanie witnessing her mother sitting on the couch smoking a joint and just staring at the smoke and just beginning to comment as though to some entity that didn't exist, have you ever noticed there is no edge of smoke?
Wow.
You can't see the edge.
I like that.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, you mentioned that you've been writing, you know, for quite a while now. What is the evolution of your writing? You mentioned that your first novel you worked on over a period of years. I know that feeling. I've done that myself. And then you...
Just on the title.
Have you tightened this up to where it comes quicker? How has this evolved for you as a writer?
All of my books so far, what I have done is I just sit down with the voice of the protagonist in my head, and I allow him or her to speak. And, of course, Stephanie in the current novel is transgender. The first novel that I wrote is called Confessions from the Pumpkin Patch, and it's out of print right now. It should be republished pretty soon. But that's a heterosexual female protagonist. And the second novel, The Calling Dream, that's a heterosexual male protagonist. And Stephanie is transgender.
Okay.
And, yeah, the next novel that I will begin working on shortly has a lesbian protagonist.
Wow.
So these, the way you write now, they come to you quicker though, is what I'm getting at, because you know you had mentioned that the first one taking years, then you're getting to be almost prolific now.
Yeah, Well, and the characters have been in my head. It's like Stephanie has been in my head since 2013 or 14, Christmas of 2013, 14, somewhere in there. It was around 2014 that the first novel was published. So she's been in my head through these two novels and then finally got to her on the third novel. So this will be the second novel published with you guys. And so finally got to her after writing two books before that. But once they're in my head, they stay in my head and they pester me until I get around to writing their story.
Yeah, I've got a few characters like that myself.
Yeah.
All right. We are talking with Carlisle Toms, the author of Edge of Smoke, and that's coming out soon. And we're going to run another ad. We'll be right back.
In 1945, 10-year-old Ronald Dennison, the son of a backwoods Arkansas preacher, began having profound dreams about religion and a strange red-haired woman. The dreams follow him for decades, with the woman sometimes seducing him, other times calling him to become a televangelist, but eventually berating him for his sins of lust. She holds a secret so dark that he dares never admit it, even to himself. The more famous and wealthier he becomes, the more he struggles with his adultery, his fetish, and his shame, until his torment can no longer be contained. Staggering revelations challenge everything he ever believed. Will truth bring him the peace he always craved? Or will the woman's demands prove more than he can bear? Read the novel, The Calling Dream by Carlisle Toms. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. The Calling Dream by Carlisle Toms.
And that would be a perfect segue to ask Carlisle Toms about The Calling Dream, which was the first novel that he published with Fresh Ink Group. You've touched on it a little bit, but tell us more about your main character and how this book is narrated in the first person and what kind of a story arc we can expect.
Well, The Calling Dream is, and I borrowed a great deal from my own childhood in describing this, because a lot of the descriptions of the farm where Ronald Dennison, who is the protagonist of the book, where he grew up, those are descriptions pretty much of the farm where I grew up. And although I grew up a little later than that, they're very similar experiences, including, you know, in my mind visualizing the barn lot and the pond and the corn bin and various different things like that, and the house and those kinds of things, where I had a different experience growing up, of course, but I used my own childhood experiences to describe at least the first portion of the book, his early years, and what that was like growing up on the farm, and what, you know, and going through that. Now, he begins having profound dreams, and the dreams basically call him to preach, but the redheaded woman also seduces him. She also berates him in his dreams, and he hates himself for his sexual urges, which he can't seem to control. Then he becomes a famous televangelist, and he's faced with dealing with these sexual compulsions in contrast to what he's saying from the pulpit and the life that he's trying to live as a fundamentalist Christian preacher. So, and Stephanie, the protagonist of Edge of Smoke, is introduced in The Calling Dream. And each novel introduces a character who will be the protagonist of another novel. Stephanie is introduced, and so Mr. Dennison, this famous televangelist, gets a call from this minister in St. Louis, and Stephanie is in Christian foster care after her mother was murdered. And Pastor Dennison is supposed to sit down with Stephanie and convince her to quit thinking that she's a girl, convince her that you're a boy, you need to you need to be a boy, you need to act like a boy, you need to give up this whole idea that you're really a girl. And instead, Stephanie jerks his chain and basically triggers him into becoming aware and dealing with issues that he had denied his whole life. So that actually, Stephanie is the turning point in The Calling Dream, in which Pastor Dennison basically has to get real with himself. Stephanie triggers him into those awarenesses that he didn't want to face.
Dennison sounds like a flawed character.
Like a flawed character?
Yeah.
I think all of my characters are flawed characters.
Those are the best.
Every one of them. Yeah. Stephanie is a flawed character. You know, growing up in the slums of Pruitt-Igoe and around all the squalor and the illegal activities, and her mother being a drug addict and men in and out of the house, and basically her mother also prostituted her as a little kid. And so she had one old lady who lived up the hall who was an elderly black woman from New Orleans and Creole descent, and this old woman was the only one who accepted her for who she is, the only one who loved her, the only one that she could turn to. And then when she's put into Christian foster care, she's taken away from Miss Maddie, who was the old lady up the hall, and thinks that she'll never see anybody again. She'll never, you know, she lost her mother, she lost a friend, she lost Miss Maddie, all in just one night. And then the book is about her not only coming to love and accept herself for who she is, but also navigating all of that trauma from her childhood and learning to make peace with her past.
Is that how it ends then?
It kind of ends that way, but not quite.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you the ending. she comes to realize that the things that Miss Maddie taught her while she was growing up are a lot more important than other things that she was tempted to.
Okay.
And there's
now,
also
that,
a love interest.
Now, that's Edge of Smoke?
No, that's the
Calling
Dream.
Yeah, is that still Calling Dream?
No, that's Edge of Smoke.
Okay.
Yeah,
and the Calling Dream, Pastor Dennison, you know, grows up in this tiny little community in northern Arkansas and then ends up in Nashville as a famous televangelist and making all of this money and hiding his proclivities from his wife, from the church, from his following on television, and you know, he travels all over the country doing these presentations, and then he's everywhere he goes, he's dealing with this double life.
So does
Stephanie is one of the characters he encounters.
Yeah, so which you had just talked a little bit about Edge of Smoke. Does Pastor Dennison make an appearance in Edge of Smoke?
Yes.
Okay, so he goes both ways. Then
yes.
He goes from one book
so,
to the other, and
yeah.
She does as well.
Yeah, so
okay.
from Edge of Smoke, Stephanie is giving her perception and her perspective on the meeting with Pastor Dennison. And in The Calling Dream, Pastor Dennison is giving his perspective from about the meeting with Stephanie. And, of course, the two of them see it a different way.
All right.
All right. It's time to roll another ad, Beam.
All right. It's time to celebrate 98.
Yeah.
Dave Hooker here, longtime Tennessee sports writer, and I know that true Tennessee fans are celebrating the 25th anniversary of the legendary 1998 Tennessee Volunteers Championship season. I'll tell you what, you celebrate 98, I try to bring the full color photos and detail the transfer of power from Peyton Manning to Al Wilson, the preparation to win the first BCS National Championship, the locker room dynamics, and the challenges of a team rising above deep tragedy. Key plays include an interception, a fumble maybe against Arkansas, and a bit of trickeration. Also, there's that Florida game. I analyze the leadership, the strategies, and the players' commitment to each other and share what we are still learning from this team even today. Discover what happened to those heroes of the gridiron and where they are now. Proudly published by the Fresh Ink Group, Celebrate 98 is available in all the digital forms, but you can also get your own soft cover or jacketed hardcover keepsake edition from booksellers worldwide. Want an autographed edition? Go to offthehooksports.com. That's offthehooksports.com, and I'll personalize it for you. Celebrate 98 is a collector's item and a cherished gift that belongs to all fans of college football and the Tennessee Volunteers.
All right, we're talking to Carlisle Times, author of The Calling Dream and the soon-to-be-released in the next week or so, Edge of Smoke. And if you want to call in and ask a question or make a comment to Carlisle, call 516-453-9902.
Yeah.
All right, Carlisle, well, you've been talking about Edge of Smoke and the main character, Stephanie. Does she get to break out and leave the area, too, and do some travel and see the world and all that, or is the story fairly well combined right there?
It's fairly well combined. She ends up going to Baltimore for transition surgery. And there's a period, there's a chapter or two in Baltimore, and a character that she meets there who is in the next door apartment while she's there for several surgeries over the course of several months as she's going through the transition process. But the rest of it, you know, it's back in St. Louis, and she's back there and working as a bartender and trying to live her life, as the line is, to go stealth. She's trying for nobody to realize that she's trans, and is kind of hoping that she can just kind of live it. But at the same time, she's terrified of men because of her childhood. She's terrified of being pursued romantically. She's terrified of any kind of sexual contact. And it's also around the time that she has her transition surgery that the AIDS crisis began.
Wow.
So there are several different layers of issues that that she deals with in throughout the course of the novel.
Wow. Is she happy with the transition? She considers it a success?
Yes. Yes. She's happy with it, but it creates a different set of problems because she doesn't want anybody either to know about that or to know about her past and growing up in the slums. And so she's trying to keep that secret, the history of her past, and she's also trying to keep it secret that she's transgender mainly because of the trauma. It's like being transgender is not really her problem. The trauma she experienced is the real problem. And because of the trauma she experienced, she fears misogynistic men. She fears men in general, not knowing who may or may not be misogynistic, who may or may not hurt her, and especially hurt her if they knew that she was transgender. So we're talking about a time in the 1980s where things were very, very different. And one of the things that happened with the AIDS crisis is that the gay rights movement got set back practically to the beginning. And there was a whole lot of upheaval. It was around the time that Harvey Milk was assassinated. And there were all sorts of things that were going on at the time, including people having a lot of afraids. Afraids is when you're terrified of getting AIDS. Of course, she wasn't terrified of that because she wouldn't have sex with anybody. And so basically, here she is. She's a virgin, although she was sexually abused as a child. And she's a virgin. And it's introduced in The Calling Dream that one of the triggers is that this guy that her mother farmed her out to, and he did things to her, and she's telling Pastor Dennison, I'm going to kill him someday. If I ever see him again, I'm going to murder him. And Pastor Dennison is trying to talk her out of this idea of murdering this man who abused her, but she swears, if I ever see him again, I'm going to kill him. So she carries that hatred with her as well.
Now, one of the hallmarks of a really good story is the authenticity of the characters and whatnot. And you had talked about your day job and how a lot of that, those kind of issues show up in your writing. Is this something that you you dealt with in your day job, transgenders and this?
Yeah,
what's going into this character?
I had several transgender clients over the course of my career. And Stephanie is none of them. Hmm. But what I did is I have an awareness of kind of what it feels like. One of the things that I think that made me a good therapist is that I have the ability to walk a mile in another person's shoes, not to understand how they feel, but to put myself in their place and think, how would I feel if that happened to me? How would I handle it if it happened to me? And so that's kind of what I've done with Stephanie. And of course, I'm not transgender. So what I've done is imagined myself as a transgender person. If I grew up this way, if I had this experience, what would it be like? And that's essentially what I do with all of my characters. If I was this person, what would that be like? And the characters actually from book to book all tend to be quite different from one another, even though they basically, it's almost like channeling, they're telling their story through me.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Edge of Smoke, the cover that's being digitally painted right now, we see Stephanie is still as a boy in the doorway there with his mother behind him. What's the butterfly that's flying over his head? And what's the significance of the coloration?
Well, the coloration is the trans flag. And, of course, that was not around at the time Stephanie was a little girl. But the coloration is the trans flag, and the butterfly represents coming from, you know, from being the caterpillar to the chrysalis to the butterfly emerging. And so when she is able to have her transition surgery, then she becomes the butterfly.
Wow. A lovely metaphor. It's a very, very nice image. I like the way it's coming together. We're going to roll a couple more commercials here and come back and talk to Carlisle Toms, author of The Calling Dream and the soon-to-be-released in the next week or so, Edge of Smoke.
I'm David Carroll, and I'm proud of my recent books, Chattanooga Radio and Television, Volunteer Bama Dog, and Hello Chattanooga, famous people who have visited the Tennessee Valley. Like many folks, I spend too much time on social media, but I put that time to good use. For years, I've been collecting social media misspellings, misinterpretations, and other mishaps, from tweets, text messages, even the signs you see at stores and on the highways. I've collected the funniest foul-ups in my latest book, I Won't Be Your Escape Goat, David Carroll's homemade social media blunders. I top them off with my own snarky comments, and they're illustrated by a talented artist, my friend Mike Salter. There are a lot of laugh-out-loud moments in the book, more than 400 of them. We all make mistakes, and sure, you can blame it on spell check, but maybe, just maybe, we didn't pay enough attention in English class. Either way, this book will bring a smile to your face or to the face of someone you love. We can all agree what the world needs now is laughter, and lots of it. I Won't Be Your Escape Goat, proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, in softcover, jacketed hardcover, and all ebook formats.
A grand epic saga by Robert McKenzie, the Chair series spans centuries.
Touching the lives of 22 generations of related mothers and daughters, their stories witnessed by a simple pine chair. Resolute, strong, loving, and fiercely protective, these women must strive to pass their values to new generations in a world of racism and sexism, politics, scandal, fashion, and even the rise and dominance of baseball. They live in privilege and poverty, with faith and despair, relishing every moment of love, even as they suffer abiding grief. Volume 1, Lightning, Thunder, and Glory, spans the 1600s through World War I, while Volume 2, Faith, Hope, and Love, follows these women's descendants into modern times and beyond. In Volume 3, 7, 8, and 9, the chair flashes back to pre-Civil War America, featuring a woman from the Second Mayflower, her daughter the black market Irish lace importer, and a Canadian World War I fighter pilot. Volume 4, Punch, Pass, and Kick, jumps forward with a gunboat battle, one courageous cattle drive, a suffragette in the ocean liner industry, a mysterious unpublished manuscript, and more. A blend of history and philosophy told through satire and parody, the story of the chair could be found in some old trunk in any dusty old attic. But Mackenzie breathes it alive with riveting tales that span the real and the imagined. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, the Chair series by Robert Mackenzie is available worldwide in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook editions.
All right, those two commercials, like all the commercials you hear on the show tonight, have video versions over on YouTube in the Fresh Ink Group channel. Now, the Fresh Ink Group channel over there on YouTube, easy to find. You type in Fresh Ink Group, and it'll pop up with that blue octopus. We picked up a couple more subscribers this week, and we just get downright giddy when people subscribe to our YouTube channel. So if you want to see us do a little dance, get over there and check those out and subscribe. We're pushing close to 90 book trailers now, fully, you know, video, animation. We put a lot of effort in those. We're kind of proud of them. The first one that you just heard in that block, David Carroll, we published 3 books by him now. Usually we hire professional actors or voiceover talent to do these so that we can make a radio version that you'll hear on this show and then the video version as well. But when you got an NBC News anchor writing books, we thought, you know, maybe this guy could pull off doing the voiceover. We should give him a try. Turned out he was pretty good at it. So our three David Carroll commercials, you get to hear the author narrating his own commercial, which is pretty cool. But yeah. Again, we're getting starting to wind down here a little bit. We're talking to author Carlisle Toms, author of The Calling Dream, author of Edge of Smoke, which is going to be published in the next week or so.
Yeah, Carlisle, as Stephen just mentioned, The Calling Dream and Edge of Smoke, you published those through Fresh Ink Group. Your previous work, how did you publish those? What's the history there?
Well, when I started this, I was just dumb. I had no
so
idea.
Were we.
What had happened was Frank and Sue Sherry had written a book called My Three Lost Girls. And Frank was an author. He had 15 novels or so under his belt. They retired from New York to the Ozarks, and I met them. And when I had written that first novel, Frank unfortunately had developed dementia by that time, and he could not review it. But I had Sue take a look at it, and she read it, and she said, "I think you need to publish this." And then she began talking to me about how I might go about publishing it. That was also around the time that Winter's Bone came out and Meredith Sisko.
Great book and great movie.
Yeah.
Daniel Woodrow.
Yeah. So he's also from that area. Uh-huh. And Meredith Sisko, who was in the film, did some music for the film, is also an author. And she reviewed the book and gave me a wonderful review of that book. And so the first publisher, I said, "What about ebook?" And "Oh, well, we don't do ebook." And so I took the book back from him and then self-published it. And I'd had it won a New Apple Award shortly after I moved to Texas, and I had had a couple of editors who went over it, and I trusted, okay, they know what they're doing. And then I took a look at what was actually online that I hadn't paid attention to, and I found error upon error upon error upon error. So a couple of years ago, I actually took it off self-publishing. It's completely off the market at this point. And going through myself and correcting those grammatical errors in the book, I also had kind of done a little bit of revision on the story as well, just taking some stuff out. It's like, eh, that's not necessary. And, you know, tweaking the language a couple of times and that sort of thing. So it's going to be pretty much ready to go again pretty soon. And I'm hoping that will then be the next one up in the on the assembly line.
So then you eventually made your way to Fresh Ink Group. How'd you find us?
Well, actually, I found you on social media.
Wow.
And I was doing, a couple of years ago, I was doing a thing. I'd started doing a thing on Instagram that I called Happy Talk.
Yeah.
And I was interviewing various different people, and you were one of the folks I interviewed for my Happy Talk segment. And
yeah,
that's how
that
I got
fun.
To know you.
That was very fun. Well, that's cool. All right, so Carlisle, you've got several books out, one out of print now, and you've got your second Fresh Ink Group book coming out in the next week or so. What have you been learning about marketing? What are the kinds of things that you're trying? What's working? What's not working? Do you hold events? What's going on with your marketing?
Yeah, I need to get back into maybe I think about it and think about doing some live stuff on Instagram, but I try to connect with people on social media. I used to be huge into Twitter when I first started, and I've kind of refocused on Instagram because I can do these little daily blogs on there where I take a meme and then I pontificate about what the meme says. And I do usually every day I'll do that, and then I've been occasionally doing videos. I've recently, for the Calling Dream, just a couple of months ago, September I think, I had a book signing at Barnes & Noble for that, and then I have in mind maybe after I get through the holidays to several other bookstores in the area to check out with them about the possibility of doing some book signings there as well. Hopefully I'll have Edge of Smoke under my belt at that time. I can do book signings for both books.
Yeah, that'll be cool. It's nice having jacketed hardcovers displayed on the table, too. I always like that. That impresses people. Makes a nice display, especially when you're meeting fans.
Speaking of fans, what kind of fan reaction are you getting from like The Calling Dream and your previous works?
Well, I have people who've talked about having interest in it. I did a thing recently where if you'll contact me, I'll give you a free autographed copy. And so I had responses to that, and actually I gave away a couple of books related to that. And so I at one point The Calling Dream was in that top 10 of your bestseller list, and obviously it's fallen off, so maybe
it'll
I'll
be back.
Try to stir things up with that again.
It'll be back. That's what it does. They drop out and they pop back up and climb pretty high.
All of you writers out there, I'm about to ask Carlisle, if he's got any advice for writers, but I'll throw this one in too. Remember, when you get your second book out, that's how you sell more of your first book. You get that third book out, you promote the whole thing, you find fans, and then they discover your other work. So those of you who have just put out that one book and seen some mediocre sales and maybe, had a little bit higher hopes than that, you're not through yet. Keep working. It's time to keep building that audience. So
I've heard it said that when somebody reads a book by an author, they start looking for, and they like it, they start looking for other books by that same author.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, and it gives the author opportunities to cross-promote and promote at the same time. And like you said, you hold an event and have some Edge of Smoke there. That gives you two books on display. And sometimes people will be, you know, interested in one book. Sometimes it'll be the other book that grabs their attention. So do you have some advice for authors out there, either newbies that are just getting into it or seasoned veterans, you know, some hard lessons you've learned? What have you got to say to authors out there other than just keep working at it?
Well, just keep working it. The hard part for me is the marketing. You know, I could just sit at that keyboard all day long and write, but the difficult part is putting yourself out there, putting the book out there, connecting with people, and marketing the book and letting people know that it's available and not being afraid to let them know that your book is available. A lot of times just having a personal conversation with folks is helpful. You know, you can direct message people on Facebook and Twitter and things and Instagram, you know. So it's the marketing part to me has been the hard part, and that's been probably the steepest learning curve for me.
So speaking of direct messages and all that, how can listeners who are also readers find you on social media? Website, blog, Instagram?
Well, yeah, the website is CarlyleToms, CarlyleToms.com. And Instagram, on all of my social medias, it's @Carlyle_Toms. So I can be found on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, numerous places. Those are probably Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn are probably my three primary that I use, or my four primary ones.
All right.
We've been talking to Carlyle Toms, author of The Calling Dream, and sometime in the next week or so we'll be releasing his second novel, a sequel, Edge of Smoke. Carlyle, it's been a pleasure having you on.
Thank you. And I just want to say, you know, you follow me on Instagram, then you'll get those little daily or almost daily little blogs posted that you can take a look at.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right.
So next week we are going to have Robert G. Williscroft, who's recovering from his procedure today. We hope he keeps recovering well and is feeling good, because he's got a lot of books to talk about. And his new book, Ran, A Hidden Civilization, the Third Orc Chronicle, will be coming out in the next week or so. Hopefully it'll be for sale by the time we get Robert on the show. And then what's happening at the end of the year, Beam?
After that is the end of the year, whatever we want to call it.
Whatever it is.
Jamboree. The end of the year jamboree. Yeah,
I like jamboree.
We're just going to have fun. It's going to be an episode that's basically Stephen and I. We're not going to have a guest. There might be some adult beverages being consumed during the broadcast. We may talk about the past year of the podcast here, or we may talk about, you know, some movies or concerts or things that we've enjoyed over the course of this year. Steven's enjoyed many concerts. I've enjoyed a few of them myself. So we may talk about that. We may talk about just open the phone lines up and let you the listeners call in and share some of your own personal stories with us. We're going to have fun.
Don't worry, people. Yeah, don't worry. If it gets out of hand, we'll have a safe word. You know, we'll keep things under control. And then in January, we're looking forward to, we've got a Texas police officer named Chris Langley, and he's going to be on the show. And we've been looking at like an indie band theme.
Yeah, the word 66. I haven't reached out to them just yet, because I need to get one of our own authors booked into. He's going to have his choice of dates there first, and then once we get him booked, the word 66, they're a Christian hard rock / metal band, mostly hard rock, really solid vocalist, and kind of introduce them to the listening audience. They're new to us, so we're going to reach out to them and try to book them.
Yeah, we expect to have them on because they reached out to us and they'd like to be on the show. So, I mean, you know, hey, Voice of India.
Yeah, that's usually how
pinnacle.
That works.
That's
they reach out to us
that,
and we put them on.
Yeah, and the one that you just mentioned that you're still trying to book for sometime early January is Stephen Skibicki. He's the author of American Darkness, that dark thing that's full of AI-generated artwork. We're going to have that book published. I'm finishing the covers on that tonight. We're trying to have that thing published probably about this weekend or so. And so we'll have him on in January as well. But it's been great having Carlisle Toms on. We're going to run his commercial, The Calling Dream, one more time on the way out. Thanks for being on the show, Carlisle.
Thanks, Carlisle.
Thank you. Thanks. I always enjoy it.
All right. We'll see everybody next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
In 1945, 10-year-old Ronald Dennison, the son of a backwoods Arkansas preacher, began having profound dreams about religion and a strange red-haired woman. The dreams follow him for decades, with the woman sometimes seducing him, other times calling him to become a televangelist, but eventually berating him for his sins of lust. She holds a secret so dark that he dares never admit it, even to himself. The more famous and wealthier he becomes, the more he struggles with his adultery, his fetish, and his shame, until his torment can no longer be contained. Staggering revelations challenge everything he ever believed. Will truth bring him the peace he always craved? Or will the woman's demands prove more than he can bear? Read the novel, The Calling Dream by Carlisle Toms. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. The Calling Dream by Carlisle Toms.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.